I'll be teaching, as I generally do every fall, Public Policy 541. It's cross-listed with the Economics Department. It is the economics, although I don't know that that's in the title, of international trade policy. I'm a trade economist. I have tremendous love for the pure theory of international trade. I do not teach that in this course. Indeed, in these days, it doesn't seem like I teach that anywhere. The reason I don't teach it in this course, even though I was taken to task for that fact by a visitor when we were trying to recruit this last year, because she thinks it's such wonderful theory, and I agree with her. She took me to task for not teaching it because it is such wonderful theory. But the reason I don't teach it is that most of that basic international trade theory is not something that you can apply easily and directly to really anything, let alone policy problems. It is general equilibrium theory that allows you to learn a bunch of very important insights, and I do try to get some of those insights across in the course. But because it, generally speaking, at the level that one can handle it easily, assumes a world with only two industries, two factors, two countries, the real world, irritatingly, became more complicated than that a while back. And so you can't just plug numbers into it and get answers. So the economic theory that is part of the course is almost entirely partial equilibrium theory. Indeed, it's exactly the sort of thing that I know you are all learning and loving in Micro B. Well, there's a few of you who may not be loving it. But anyway, it's basically the same thing. Indeed, the first time I was asked by our previous dean and director to teach cost-benefit analysis, I said, I have no idea what that is. And he says, that's what you do in trade policy. And he was exactly right. So it's applying those tools to international trade policies, things like tariffs on imports and quotas on imports, voluntary export restraints, and the whole long range of other policies that creative governments have come up with, usually to interfere with international trade. And those include a number of things that we also use all the time, anti-dumping duties, countervailing duties, safeguards policies, things of that nature. We analyze all of those things with those same tools of economics. But I think it's fair to say that only maybe half or a little more than half of the course is the economics of all of these things, because we also spend quite a bit of time looking at the institutions and the legal rules of these things, because international trade policy is governed internationally by something used to be called the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade, the GATT. Today it's the World Trade Organization. And what countries are allowed to do is restricted by membership in that organization, and they're constantly breaking those rules. And then we get cases where there are disputes between countries that are addressed by that institution, leading to various other actions on the part of the country. So a good portion of the class, although less than half certainly, is on these institutional issues. One other thing that I might mention, now that I think about it, because it just popped into my head, it has been customary in recent years for us to have two courses on international economic policy, mine on international trade policy in the fall and Catherine Dominguez's course on international financial policy in the winter. And it has been our custom, Catherine's and mine, each of us to include a couple of weeks on the topic of the other course. Because we both think that both of these courses are really important, but we don't trust you to take them both. And so I teach a little bit about exchange rates and the balance of payments and the balance of trade and that sort of thing in my course, and she teaches a little bit about tariffs and quotas and the gains from trade in her course. This is particularly relevant right now because as it looks right now, and this may not have been the case for the course list that I distributed a few weeks ago, Catherine's course may not be offered next year. She normally teaches that and macroeconomics, and she's agreed to take over our PhD program, which means she doesn't teach as much. And we're pretty sure, and she is too, that we really need to offer the macro course, so we may not offer the international finance course, which means if you want to get a taste of international finance, maybe you should take my course. And maybe I should increase that taste a little bit. I should probably ask her about One of the problems with international finance, in my humble and unbiased opinion, is that the people in that area really don't know what's going on. Every decade or so, they change their mind. They say, okay, forget what we said last decade. Now we got these new models. Whereas we in trade keep building on what we already knew and believe that we still know that stuff, but they keep changing their mind. So I'd have to find out just what their current mindset is these days for some of these things. But I might add a little bit of that if it looks, in fact, by fall, like we won't be able to offer international finance. Anyway, I think that might be relevant to your choices. At the moment, no. The question is, am I trying to bring someone in to teach that course? It would just be that one course. I'm not doing anything about it right now. It's not clear that we can afford to do that. So I wouldn't count on it. I would love, myself, I mean, I always like to bring in an international economist to do stuff, but I kind of doubt that we'll manage to do that. Did you not take her course? Yeah, well, with good reason. I thought so too, until she agreed to take over the PhD program, which I'm delighted she's doing, but you probably aren't. Why would you care about that? Okay, I don't see Brian Jacob yet. Let me just say a few words about